This week, the second of the two parshas is Parshas Bechuk Kosai. And the parsha begins famously with the tremendous brachos, the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us. And the parsha begins, Im Bechuk Kosai Telechu, V'es Mitzvosai Tishmeru, V'asisem Osam. Im Bechuk Kosai Telechu means if we take a path in life and we move in our lives with the chukim, observing the chukim, but it really doesn't mean observance, because as Rashi points out, as Chazal point out, es mitzvosai tishmeru va'asisem olsam is descriptive of observance. So, in b'chukosai telechu, Rashi quotes Sifrei to tell us that this is all about learning Torah. But it doesn't just use the expression learning Torah. Shetihiyu amelim ba'Torah. Specifically, that we should be amel ba'Torah. And I'd like to focus on the idea of what amelus means, and specifically to be amel ba'Torah as a way of bringing bracha to ourselves, to our families, to our community. Shetihiyu amelim ba'Torah. The Baal HaTurim, just as an aside, points out that if you look at the gematria of im b'chukosai telechu, it actually equals, in gematria, amelim divrei Torah. So we can understand that there's a great and important relationship between im b'chukosai telechu, living a life that is with being amel b'Torah. They are defined one with the other. Being amel b'Torah is a way of life. That's the path we should take im b'chukosai Teilechu. I'd like to focus then on exactly what amelus really means. The Malbim tells us that to be amel means something different than your typical learning. It certainly is very different from your typical observance of mitzvahs. That amelus means a effort of the intellect, a yegia of the machshava. A yegia of the machshava meaning that a person is making great efforts intellectually. It means working hard with one's mind. And it means, therefore, applying oneself and perhaps concentrating and delving intellectually into the depths of an understanding of a blat gemara, of a mitzvah, of a mishnah, of a pasuk. But it means to do so with very great concentration and with depth. It means using all of the assets that we are God-given, developing those assets so that we can, with acuity, come to understand as best as we can the meaning of a pasuk, the meaning of a mishnah, a blat gemara, etc. Now, the harnessing of all of our faculties is, interestingly enough, today inclusive of some of the technological abilities to understand and to learn, where we can avail ourselves of people who have made great efforts to understand, who have either published and transcribed in books, or who have published on the internet. We can do our own work and not just see what others have said. We could actually do cross-referencing quickly to see what a word means, how it's used, what a particular kind of train of thought might be used and applied to a particular piece of Gemara. There's a tremendous amount of exploration and then work that we can do based on the scholarship that presents in electronic and digital form. And there are people who are really expert in using that form and in advancing our understanding of Torah with the enhancements that are made available because of the technological advancements now in our time. But Amal really, at the really core, means our own work, a person's own work, and a person's work within his own heart and mind to understand the meaning and then the relevance of what it is that the Pasuk, the Mishnah, the Gemara is telling us. And that's what the Malbim means. It means that we are supposed to apply ourselves, and the idea of Ayin Mem Lamed means then to really make Yigiyah, which is not just work, but real effort. As in Yigiyah Kapecho Kisochel, that for Divrei Torah we have to make a certain amount of effort, and we have to be willing to see that effort through to its conclusion. Sometimes it takes longer to understand. There are some students who need more time. Some of us have to have a certain almost stubborn way of staying at a particular piece of Gemara and saying, I don't think I fully understand it, but I'm not scared and I'm not discouraged, because one can get very discouraged. Stick it out and say, I'm going to come to the complete and full understanding that I am able to. And that's a great and valorous effort, courageous effort even. That's to be Amel Batayra. That's what the Malbim says. It means the Egias HaMachshava, that kind of great effort. Now, you have to know that the idea of thinking in Torah, and that one's use of one's mind is so much what Torah is all about, well, that's actually codified in Halacha. Because, fascinatingly enough, the Vilna Gaon paskins that if one is Maharher B'Torah, that if one is thinking about Torah, contemplating Torah, that without even saying a word, you really should make the bracha in the morning. If a person is going to look at a Blat Gemara or study a Mishnah, even if he's not going to voice the words, even if they're not going to be expressed and they're not going to be read out loud, but just the fact that one is learning mentally, intellectually, means that it's correct to say Berachas HaTorah. That's how the Gaon paskins. And we should be mindful of that, because sometimes in the morning we have a few minutes before Berachas HaTorah, before Berachas HaShachar, we open up a Sefer. According to the Gaon, we should be making a bracha before we learn. So what that is indicative of is the fact that the idea of being Amel, meaning using our minds, is so much a part of, it's so central to the actual idea of Talmud Torah, that even if we don't say anything and we're just thinking, we have an obligation to say a bracha. A maharher would make a bracha. Our thoughts, in order to be successful, our way of understanding a Mishnah, a Blat Gemara, the svara that we have to get at, the reasoning behind it, the explanation for it, this is all part of what we do when we are Amal B'Torah. And it's very good for us. It keeps the mind sharp. And as we get younger in life, it's perhaps even a blessing to be able to learn. But it's also a benefit, because it's going to keep one's mind sharp well into one's 80s and 90s, God willing. Organized thoughts, mature thoughts that ripen into a profound understanding of the will of the Ribono Shel Olam, of the role of man in Hashem's world. Rav Yeshe Ber Soloveitchik once commented on the Mishnah in Avos, the third parak in Avos, in the name of Rabbi Yaakov. Someone is studying Torah and looks up and sees a beautiful tree and says, Ma na ilan zeh, oh, how beautiful this tree is. Someone looks at a field and says, oh, what a beautifully cultivated field. So the Mishnah says an astonishing thing. Famously, the Mishnah says that a person who does that in midst of his learning is mischayev benafsho. It's as if this person deserves to lose his life. He deserves to lose his life. Why? Why? Just because he's commenting in the midst of his learning, pausing in the middle of his learning to say, oh, what a beautiful tree, what a beautiful field, what a beautiful world. So it's very hard to imagine that it's because of simple bitul Torah. Well, you know, in the middle of Torah study, one glances up and sees something that distracts him. So because of that, the person, even if he allows the distraction to last a moment longer, is mischayev benafsho, hard to understand. So Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal said, this is in his classic work, Halachic Man, he says that the interruption here is not itself the problem so much as how the person expresses, oh, look at the beauty. In other words, that this person has skipped so many steps and stages before announcing and celebrating the beauty that he beholds. Where did the beauty come from? How did it come into this world? What made it take shape? For what reason did it take shape? And at whose behest? At the Ribono Shel Olam's? So, in four words that are just so sharp and so brilliant, Rav Soloveitchik said, quote, cognition should precede rapture. Cognition should precede rapture. In other words, that a person has to think about and understand before reaching that expression of what wells up as mere emotion, oh, look how beautiful that tree or that field might be. And then he continues, Rav Soloveitchik says, he who reaches a peak of enthusiasm prior to his having cognized, prior to his completion of study, is as if he committed a moral sin. That's how important it is then for cognition, for study, to be amal, so that you can have a true appreciation of what you're beholding. And so in a person's study of Torah, it's not just that one has to be diligent and one has to stay at it and commit the time and not interrupt in the midst of study. It's also that the person must say, I need to understand, and it needs to be clear understanding. I need to cognize. And then I shall hopefully come to the state of appreciation of what I have seen and studied, even perhaps rapture. So, in other words, what I would imply, based on what Rav Soloveitchik said in that Mishnah, is that the reason for somebody interrupting, being mischayv benafsho, is not because he interrupted, but perhaps because what he is learning and the manner in which he is learning would perhaps be just as poor as the manner in which he failed to first take all notice and cognition of what brings about the beauty that he beholds. In other words, that the learning is being conducted, but it's probably as superficial as what witness he has made of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created in his world. That just as he looked out and saw a beautiful tree and didn't understand where it came from, didn't think about what its formation, how and why, who Hashem in his wisdom formed it and why, and then celebrate. Similarly, in this person's learning, no doubt the learning is also being done and not with the depth and not with the understanding and not with the end goals that should be the end goal, and that is, I want to understand Hashem's will. All study of Torah should be, I need to understand this sense of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's found somewhere within this maybe minute issue that I'm examining in a Mishnah or in a Blat Gemara, but that will reveal to me a bit of what is the grandeur of His Holiness. I need to behold that, but I need to behold it not just with an emotion, I need to behold it with an understanding, and the understanding has to come from my work. So if I don't do the work correctly, then I'm not learning properly. And that which he has seen out in the environment, which caused him to say, that's a reflection on the paucity of cognition being invested in his learning. And I would suggest that that is what Rav Soloveitchik meant to say as well. That is the reason why he's Meschayev Benafsho, because then the learning itself that he was involved in was itself just not what it should be. Now, we have just described something that's so lofty. You know, you want to have a sense of, at least an intimation of, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as revealed through this mitzvah, as revealed through this question and answer about some fine point in a mitzvah, as discussed in a Mishnah, in the Gemara. Why is this called chok? Note that the Torah says, in b'chukosai telechu, so it's a chok. Nechukim are, of course, strictly that which we are not given to understand. The mitzvahs that have no seeming open, overt explanation, why we can't wear shatnez, how and why we prepare a par adum in order to achieve tahara, these are chukim. Why is it, as we are talking about a Melos B'Torah, it could be any kind of Torah, it could be Mishpat, the laws that are very, very much sensible, laws that a person would be at a loss to try to live with other people in society if there weren't laws. And then you have, you know, other dinim that clearly have explanations that are so important to us, all the laws of Shabbos, the concept of Shavisa, of resting on Shabbos. Because it's an os, it's a sign, beni, between I, Hashem says, and the Jewish people, that I've created the world, and it's a zecher l'yitzias Mitzrayim. So there are so many mitzvahs, the majority of those mitzvahs that we do every day, and that we do every week, throughout the year, these are not chukim. So why does the Torah say, Ibchukosai telechu, when you're talking about Amelus b'Torah? So the Sfas Emes says, because ultimately, we don't fully understand what is revealed in each mitzvah about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the intricacies and all the mysteries of each and every mitzvah and every nuance within a mitzvah, containing so much that can and should reveal to us the truth of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yichudo Yisbarach is not going to become clear in each and every mitzvah and in each and every participle within a mitzvah. Yet it could be, if we were to delve, if we had the ability to do what the Malbim says, which is to go into the very depth of it all, if we would achieve the cognition, the full cognition as Rav Soloveitchik described it, we would be able to take out everything that's contained within every mitzvah, and we would glean so much of an understanding, of a closeness to, of an appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We'd apprehend so much more about Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's not possible. And that's why the Torah calls it all a chok. Even though you think you're learning, and you are, even though you're doing, as the Malbim says, it's yegiya samachshava, it's a tremendous amount of effort, you're reaching cognition and you're coming to understanding, but we have to be honest with ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves. We're never going to fully get where the complete picture of what the Ritzon Hashem in a mitzvah really is. We're never going to get there. We're supposed to get very close, and we will, but there's always more. And there's always more that's going to remain inaccessible, that's going to remain in the realm of mystery. And because of that, ultimately, in everything that we learn, in every mitzvah we come to understand, there's still going to be that aspect of chok, that little bit where we just don't know, with that little bit of a mystery that is the other world, the other side, the higher world, and yet to be discovered. We'll get closer. Next time we review this mitzvah, next time we chazav this Blat Gemara, we'll understand more. We'll celebrate more of it. And we'll feel even more that we found truth. And I mean truth as in emes, which is Chaysam Maishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. But it won't be the full truth. It won't be the depth of it, won't be the width of it, won't be as expansive, as eternal, as it actually is in reality. And because of the fact that it's eternal, and it has no limit, it has no empirical scope, so that's why man, in his limitation, you know, in study, can't ever fully understand or grasp the grandeur, the entire full grandeur of anything that we study. But we have to try. Since we can't fully grasp it, we can't ever fully appreciate the grandeur, that fact that there's always that bit of mystery that's left, is the reason why it's called a chok, the Sfas Emes teaches us. So the Torah described being Amel B'Torah, always knowing that there's the aspect of chok, no matter how well we study and how much we come to understand, there's still going to be, and we should humbly accept, that there's going to be the aspect of chok. There's so much more mystery yet to be discovered, yet to be revealed. Amal means, as we said, this yegiya samachshava, this tremendous amount of effort. There's a fascinating insight into the word amal that's shared by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal. When someone compiled some of his comments on the Haggadah, it's in the work on Pesach of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and they put together some of the words that he spoke and some of his comments on the Nusach of the Haggadah. Now, in the Haggadah, as we are derish from Parshas Kisavo, the Pasuk, Vayar es anyenu ves amoleinu v'yaslachetzenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard our cries and saw our affliction, and he saw amoleinu and lachetzenu. Now, in that context, the Baal Haggadah tells us, es amoleinu elu habanim. To be amol means to have sons. What does that mean exactly? It doesn't simply mean, well, they took our sons away and they took our children away and did terrible things, murdered our sons, put them into the wall, used them as bricks and mortar, and That's a simple explanation. But why would that be called Amaleinu? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it means indeed raising sons and the challenge of raising sons. And that challenge must have been some challenge, particularly in Mitzrayim, in those circumstances. And he says that raising a child is an amal because it's something with tremendous amount of work, a tremendous amount of heartache, in his words, etzev and teirach. But you have to do it, and you care very much about it. It's something you fervently care about and apply yourselves to very, very diligently, passionately even, and yet it's not always easy. It comes with a lot of heartache. And that's why it's called amal. He says, in the case of Ves Amaleinu, Elu Habanim. So it's heartache. It's difficult. So Tihi Amelum Batera means that it's something that doesn't come easily. It means that we have to be stubborn and say, I'm devoting my time. I'm not going to let myself be pulled away. It means I'm going to take on a project that's difficult, not only with the amount of time, but also because it's going to have to be with depth. I'm going to have to study hard. That which I don't understand, I have to try to get at. I have to ask someone. I need some help. And I've got to work hard to get more out of my study. It's to be humble. But that's the way to do it. Not to take any easy way out, but to actually make the great effort, knowing full well that there's going to be much more that yet remains, even after I'm done, to understand. But still, I want to do it, as hard as it is, and as difficult or as challenging as it is. Story is told of the father of the great Rabbi Meir of Primishlan. Rabbi Meir of Primishlan's father was Rav Aharon Arya Miprimishlan, who had a disciple who apparently made his way, this is at the close or toward the end of the latter half of the 18th century, made his way to the Neim HaLemelech. This was a great and important personality, really the founder of Galician Hasidus. The Neim HaLemelech would see people at his table, at his tish, on Shabbos. So a disciple or an associate, a Talmud of the Primishlan's father, a Talmud of Rav Aharon Arya of Primishlan, was in Lezhensk for Shabbos. He happened to be passing through on his way home from a business venture, from a business trip. And when asked where he was from, he said that he was from Primishlan. And the Neim HaLemelech said, oh, that's the Baron Arya's. What a balgaiva. Something astonishing. Can you imagine? The Neim HaLemelech at the tish, in front of other people, refers to Rabbi Aharon Arya as a balgaiva, as someone very haughty, someone aloof. And of course, this businessman who was an associate, who was a disciple and an adherent of Rabbi Aharon Arya, was astonished. How could the Neim HaLemelech talk that way? Why would he say such a thing about my great Rebbe, my revered teacher, Rabbi Aharon Arya? Didn't say anything. And again, later on Shabbos, perhaps it was at Shal HaShudas, he looks toward him and he says, ah, you're the student, you're the Talmud of Rabbi Aharon Arya. Such a balgaiva. So you can imagine, it was impossible for this Talmud of Rabbi Aharon Arya to take it, but he had no choice. He's not going to confront the Neim HaLemelech. He went back and, thinking it over, he realized that he had no choice but to actually tell Rav Aharon Arya himself that he had been at the table of the Neim HaLemelech on Shabbos and that he had heard that the Neim HaLemelech said, Aharon Arya, such a balgaiva. So he said this over to Rav Aharon Arya. And the Baron Arya took it very seriously. He understood there must be something that needs correction. He took it to heart. He knew the Neim HaLemelech would never speak that way unless it was something that needed to be critiqued and deserved to have his Aron Arya's attention. And so, as difficult as it was for him, he understood he had to go to Lizhensk, to the Naaman HaMelech, and inquire and ask him and say, Rebbe, you've said critically that I'm a Baal Gaiva. I don't know in what area and in what sense you wish to say I am a Baal Gaiva. Please tell me. So that's what he did. A difficult journey. He made his way. Made his way to Lizhensk. And as is the tradition, he came right before Shabbos to say welcome, to say good Shabbos. And he basically tried to show his face, as we say, but not in a way that would be confrontational. He's not going to ask the Naaman HaMelech what he means. And actually, he was just hoping that he would say hello and the Naaman HaMelech would immediately tell him exactly what it is that he, the Naaman HaMelech, wishes to criticize and why. So he comes in and he basically, you know, says hello and squeezes in his hello and turns around and leaves and runs away. But the Naaman HaMelech recognized him. And the Naaman HaMelech, Rabbi Elimelech Melezhensk, actually sent after him and said, find out where he's staying. He must stay with me. He must come at least for the Seudas Shabbos. Such a tzaddik is here. He has to have his Seudas Leil Shabbos with me. So they bring him to the Naaman HaMelech. And then in front of all those gathered, the Naaman HaMelech greets him and says, ah, Aron Arya, Aza Baal Gaiva. He calls him a Baal Gaiva. Legend has it he called him a Baal Gaiva in front of all those who were there. You can imagine this is most disturbing. And again, Aron Arya doesn't know what to make of it. Until finally, it happens again. He's called this Baal Gaiva again by the Naaman HaMelech. So that when he comes to the Preda, when he comes to say a Ketuvach and to leave, he builds up the temerity and he says to the Naaman HaMelech, he says, Kvaid Rebbe, what do you mean exactly, in what area am I the Baal Gaiva that has to be brought back down and that needs to be humbled? Please explain. I want to understand. The Naaman HaMelech said to him as follows. You learn with great, great diligence. You achieve tremendous insight in your learning. So much so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to take you to the next level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you the Siyata Dishmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that Eliyahu HaNavi should come to learn with you. We know that there have been Sadiqim who have had Gili Eliyahu, where they've had answers to their questions, where they've had the Malach and the Eliyahu HaNavi come and explain the Torah to them. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and you don't let him. You don't let Eliyahu HaNavi come to teach you Torah. That's Gaiva. What about Gaiva? Ah, said Rav Aron Arya, that's what you mean. And he defended himself to the Naaman HaMelech and he said, if that's what you mean, I want to continue to not learn from Eliyahu HaNavi. I want to do my own learning. Even if I'll understand that much less. But it's going to be Yegia Kapecha Kiseichel. It's going to be my own work. It's going to be my achievement. It's Shetiyu Amelim BaTorah. Not that someone else is revealing it to me from heaven, from Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm not going to learn. I'm going to learn from my own hard, diligent, applied work. And Naaman HaMelech smiled and said, good, good, good. That's the value of that hard work of Shetiyu Amelim BaTorah. And that's the level we're able to achieve. Perhaps it's even better than even having Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi.